Oh, let's just go to Saint-Tropez. I'm David Brancaccio. First off, as a statistic, it's like what they call in the theater world the out-of-town tryout. It's the tally of people on payrolls added up by the payroll processor ADP ahead of the big Broadway opening, the official jobs report due 2 days later. Well, ADP reports today that there were 428,000 more people getting paychecks in August, but just half of what forecasters were expecting. Many a Wednesday, we consult Susan Schmidt in Chicago. She's head of U.S. equities at Aviva Investors.
Well, that ADP number did come in well below estimates, adding only 428,000. In any other environment, 428,000 would be a really big number. Remember, before the coronavirus, we were happy if it was 150,000. But expectations were for 1 million jobs to be added, and that's because unemployment is so high. There is this expectation that we should have big numbers as the economy gets back into gear.
We should say, though, that last month, the July figure was way off if you compare the ADP number with the gold standard, the official government jobs report that comes out 2 days later.
That's right. And it's important to keep this in perspective. Last month, we saw the private payroll number at 160,000, but the government number that came out on Friday was 1 million. So I think what we need to remember here is that data is really hard to measure right now. We're in uncharted territory, and you need to look directionally where things are headed. I think this 428,000, while below expectations, is still very positive. We are moving in the right direction, and I think that's what investors will keep in mind.
Susan Schmidt at Aviva Investors. Always good to talk to you.
Thank you, and you.
In early trading, the Dow is up 149 points, 0.6%. The S&P 500 is up 0.5%. The NASDAQ is up 0.6%. Now, that payroll tax holiday that you are probably not getting technically went into effect yesterday. It's a stopgap approach to economic stimulus. Many employers are not participating, at least not yet. But what choice do employees have on whether or not they keep about 6% more of the tax money that normally goes to fund Social Security? Marketplace's Nova Safo joins us. Nova, one reason I ask is because as it currently stands, employees will be on the hook to pay back all this cash to the government in the spring and may not want a balloon payment hanging over their head. So do they have a choice?
Well, David, it looks like it's going to depend on who they work for. That's because the guidance to implement the tax holiday that's come from the IRS is addressed to companies. It doesn't talk about what employees can do. Now, I spoke this morning with Robert Delgado. He's an expert on compensation and benefits at the accounting firm KPMG.
The notice does not give employees a say in opting in and out of the payroll tax deferral. However, it does provide flexibility for employers to provide that option to employees. And so a lot of employers are looking to put in place an election for employees as part of this process.
For example, David, payroll processor ADP, that's automatic data processing, which handles hundreds of thousands of company payrolls, is talking about workers opting in. So there appears to be some mechanism forthcoming, at least for some private sector employees.
But if a company is not participating in this whole thing, but an employee wants in, do they have any recourse? Can they force a company's hand?
It doesn't look like it because there are no penalties for companies that do not participate in the tax holiday. So the private sector is interpreting the whole thing as voluntary. That means employees don't have a lot of say to force companies to participate, at least not based on the early guidance from the government, although more could be forthcoming, more guidance, so the rules could change.
Nova Safo. Also, legal experts question the president's authority to order many of these stimulus measures without Congress. I can't do much for you as we round out this bizarre, tragic summer, but I do have the power, at least for a moment, to take you to Saint-Tropez along the Mediterranean, where club owners have been trying to figure out how to keep their businesses together, given everything. Reporter John Lawrenson is our chaperone.
A On the quay, where tourists lick ice creams and gape at the massive yachts, I meet a group of Swiss 18-year-olds. I ask Nizia Bader and Thomas Kraus why they came to Saint-Tropez.
To party, obviously.
Are you a bit disappointed that the nightclubs are closed?
We are, yeah. Le Cove is closed, so we're really disappointed about that, yeah.
What are you doing instead?
Open-air clubs.
Open-air clubs meaning bar restaurants where people are now dancing a lot. But the biggest club, Le Cab du Roi, is shut. You can enter the famous VIP rooms, garden, bar and restaurant. Oh my gosh, this path's been walked on by Rihanna. But the club section is shut.
Can you imagine all of the most beautiful girl in the world dancing in this place and having fun?
In his dark, empty VIP room, owner Jean-Roch Pedry says letting bars and restaurants where people gather together reopen and not nightclubs is unfair.
Okay, this is a cluster, but bars are the cluster, plane are the cluster.
Pedri says he's losing millions. One owners' association says a third of France's 1,200 nightclubs risks bankruptcy. But in Saint-Tropez, this is an opportunity for others. There are more parties in beach clubs, villas and yachts. And if people don't have the money, they can come here to Alicia Tinet's Hair and Nail Salon.
Music is life for me. So when the discotheques closed, we decided that two nights a week we'd have music outside the shop.
With a friend on the turntables who's a temporarily out-of-work club DJ, they get a few dozen people dancing in the street. Socially distanced, of course. In Saint-Tropez, I'm John Lawrenson for Marketplace.
See, we do, in fact, know the way to Saint-Tropez. I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Morning Report. From APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.